Hello and welcome to the We Are Birmingham podcast. I'm Chris Golding.
I'm Matthew Elliott.
And we are once again joined by the vegan who's come back and he's fucking things up. But vegan, how we do?
Yeah, good, thank you. Didn't listen to last week, so I don't know whether you trash talked me even further.
No, even more. Just saying that you were off on a vegan
retreat.
Fish hugging society event or something. Yeah. That was what it was, wasn't it?
I did actually tell them what you were doing with regards to the independent music venue.
Independent venue week.
Independent venue week, yeah.
Yeah, I got a t-shirt out of it. Yep.
Well done. Did it come out of a cannon from a cheerleader?
No, that's the only way that actually I'd like to accept t-shirts in the future. And
that day out at Wembley was the most American I've ever felt.
Is it the unicorn one that you're wearing at the moment?
No. That is a Deftones hoodie, Chris.
Oh, is it? That looks like a unicorn. Oh, yeah.
Unicorn.
There we go.
I was supposed to know that when you've just got a picture of a unicorn on it.
No, it's not a unicorn. It's not a fucking unicorn. For anyone that can't see this,
for everybody that can't see this, because we don't do a video version.
15 second opinion.
Yeah, leave that in. I told you, he's completely fucking things up. He's come back.
Leave that in. Right. Apart from Dave just destroying the first minute of the podcast, like, how is everybody? How are we all?
I think I've just about recovered from last Saturday, to be honest with you, or Sunday. Yeah.
I've seen the videos, some of the videos.
Videos?
Yeah. I think Vino put some on Instagram of some. Of you dancing to your own tune.
Oh, yeah, just doing my own thing completely.
Completely disregarding whatever song was playing at the time.
I'm sure that's the song that they were singing, but it wasn't, when you listen back, it wasn't the one I was singing. Did I give a fuck? No, absolutely not. I was having a great time. What about yourself?
I've been traveling this week a little bit around Northern Ireland, got stuck in the snow down in Enniskillen this morning, got a puncture. I'm back safely now though. It's been eventful. I'm looking forward to the weekend and the game tomorrow night.
Vegan?
Bizarrely.
Not a lot. I haven't left the house for about 3 days. It's brilliant. Week off work.
So you're having a literal staycation at the moment?
Yeah, no, it's brilliant.
Not going anywhere.
No, not going to Sheffield tomorrow either, neither. Matthew, what's it like to, is everything different now you've got a government again?
Wildly different, yeah.
Fantastic.
No, not yet. We'll see how it goes. I've been looking forward to it, so we'll see how things pan out. But I imagine it'll still just be absolute chaos because, let's be honest, you only have to look across the water to see what just having an actual government can do or not do for you. So I'm a kind
anyway, of anyway. Sort of less of the politics. Yeah. Shall we talk about football?
Yes, I guess. Where do you want to start? Do you want to start with baggies, or do you want to start with just a bit of the fallout from deadline day?
Let's talk about the baggies and what I can remember of it, which isn't an awful lot.
There wasn't a lot to remember, just even whether you'd had a drink or not, I think. To be honest, it wasn't very eventful, was it?
I remember the first half being a bit of a snooze fest. And I remember Vyman being a typical.
It was always going to be
Dirty Villa Bastard. It was always.
And fair play to him, right?
He took the goal well.
Fair play to him because he seems to always score against us anyway. But we constantly give him shit. And like we do. And he just takes it. And I think he's one of those that he never really seems to score many goals or put on good performances apart from when he plays us.
Yeah.
I think we sort of like motivate him. It clearly works.
Quite possibly. I mean, at the end, I was a bit disappointed that there was only a couple of players that came over. And I don't know if it showed this on the streams or whatever. But when he came right in front of the Blues fans and was taunting them after the game, holding up three fingers on one hand and one on the other. So I don't know if he was saying the score from earlier in the season.
No, that's actually all he's got.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, when he was sort of taunting us, Ethan Laird ran over and sort of pushed him away. And then I think it was only Miyoshi that was the other one sort of going to stick up for him when the Baggies players were like surrounded Ethan Laird then. Mm. It just felt like in a, I don't know, what is it, West Midlands derby. You know, don't let him take the piss. Sort of go and show a bit of fight with Laird. But it was a little bit disappointing that he was the only one really showing.
There was absolutely no needle in that game up until that moment, I don't think. It was very, it felt quite tame throughout, to be honest. We were unfortunate from a footballing point of view. I don't think, we probably edged it for me. We're probably slightly the better team. We never looked like we were, I never felt like we were going to lose it. It just felt like it was going to be a fairly drab 0-0. Created one or two opportunities, but nothing clear cut. They should have had Kipre sent off, which I think probably would have made a massive difference had that happened. Because other than that, it is Kyle Bartley, isn't it? Kyle Bartley and Kipre handled Stansfield and the other forward players pretty well for the most part. It just felt like it was always going to be a 0-0. It was just typical that he would end up scoring the winner. And I mean, it was preventable from losing the ball further up the pitch. Kevin Long really should have been at the near post, being able there to cut out that cross. And that obviously, with Kevin Long being out of position, it dragged Bielik the front post as well. I saw a lot of people pointing out saying it was his fault, but it absolutely wasn't, because Kevin Long was playing on that side, so he should have been there to cut the cross out. And it was just quite disappointing, especially a few minutes before when we'd obviously hit the post and it sort of rolled into the keeper's hands and we'd missed another sort of half chance just before that. Disappointing. And then the way the other results went, it's made it look a lot worse than I think it actually was, because we held our own pretty well for a team that are very, very good at home. And we said last week they are a very good team.
Yep.
I thought we did pretty well without creating loads of chances.
I can't. So looking at the stats, 50-50 on possession, which you could probably pretty much have guessed anyway. We edged the total shots and on target. They had two on target, we had five. I suppose the big one is the clear cut chances that they had three of, and we had one. But like you say, there just wasn't an awful lot in the game. And that chance that Long had, score it, you win it, you win the game.
Yeah, the game's over, isn't it? I think that was bet at that point. It wasn't to be. No, but at the same time, I think having 50% possession against them is, I know it's a small victory, but I think it's another step in the right direction as well. So
more passes than them as well.
Yeah, well, there we go. And I think maybe, I was very surprised to see Andre Dizel start, actually. I wasn't sure whether he would yet. And obviously Pritchard played, although only
played. We spoke about the changes last week, didn't we? And then I messaged you.
And you changed your mind on Pritchard, didn't you?
Yeah, I was like, I didn't even think about it at the time. But of course, he's gonna come straight in. But Dizel, we like just weren't expecting.
Mm.
Not for a derby either, anyway.
And then Pritchard went off with a stiff calf or tight calf, so looks like he probably won't make it for tomorrow either, based on what Mowbray said.
It didn't look very good at the end of the game because he was shuffling. It didn't look good at all. So I was surprised that it was just a tight calf.
I think the way Mowbray sort of positioned it was, he maybe could have played on, but we didn't want to take any chances, which they seem to do, which, you know, I think that's fair enough. Thoughts on firstly Dizel and Peck. Do you remember or not? I was actually pleasantly surprised by Dizel. I thought he moved the ball quite quickly. He looked to play it forward. All the stuff that Clive said he doesn't really do. He looked like the sort of player we've been missing for a while. And he did, you know what, actually, he did get stuck in a little bit as well, which I was more surprised at because I was under the impression that he didn't really stick his foot in. And that wasn't just from Clive, that was from other people as well. And then Pet came on and I had no idea where he was playing because one minute he was left wing, right wing, number 10, centre midfield. I think he must have played about four positions in that sort of cameo. But full of energy, like a lot quicker and a lot bigger. A little bit more, he looks more robust than I thought he would do. That's the right word, isn't it? Robust, yeah. Yeah, loads of energy though, like buzzing with energy. For a guy that hadn't really played properly since start of December, I was quite surprised at that. But he looks like he could be pretty decent.
I'm not going to lie.
You can't remember, can you?
I'm not even going to forge an opinion and because, yeah, we were out at 11 o'clock in the morning and breakfast was a pint of Asahi and Eggs Benedict, and I then didn't eat for 26 or 28 hours or probably some more longer than that, but drank a hell of a lot. So, yeah, I can't remember an awful lot about the game. Little bits.
Probably better that way.
Maybe. I had a great day out, so.
Good, and that's the important, that is the important thing. One thing just probably just worth mentioning, because we don't want to completely bypass it, is obviously the incident, or the alleged incident with Bakuna. No idea what was said, what went on. There was a couple of Baggies fans I saw on Twitter afterwards that had said they knew that something had happened, but they didn't know what it was. There was too much going on. I just hope that whatever happened gets resolved, and if they are guilty, they do get punished. There's not a lot else we can really say. And it's just unfortunate because it's the second time it's happened to Bakuna. And I actually saw some Baggy supporters pointing to that as well, saying, like, sort of maybe claiming that, or you know, it's just like more like the boy who cried wolf sort of thing, as opposed to,
you say Baggy's fans. Apparently Andy Johnson, the ex Albion player who actually is the commentator on Baggy's TV or whatever it is, apparently, and I don't know this, I haven't heard it first and myself, and it would have probably be one to send to Cornea, to be fair. But apparently he said that Bakuna could be making it up, or he might have been making it up. And I, like I say, I haven't heard it myself. I'm going by sort of secondhand
information. I saw people calling him out. I'm based on the radio silence. Excuse the pun there. Since my understanding is he hasn't come out and apologized for his comments, because I think I would have seen it so far. I mean, I've not been looking for it, but you'd expect him at some point to come out and apologize for those comments. He's been called out by a lot of Blues fans, and I know that much because so many people quote retweeting bits from BBC West Midlands and stuff like that. But yeah, I say very, I hope it gets sorted. It's the sort of thing that's just becoming rife in the game. You had that Casey Palmer thing a few weeks ago, and the Sheffield Wednesday fans were booing him as well the following week. So, I mean, that's even worse.
Barry Bannon telling them to just get on with it as well.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't expect anything less than that little shit though, would you, I suppose? But
For me, like some of the arguments that I've seen online, calling each other out, it's if something has been said and it's racist, it's out of order. There's no defending it, but there's none of this, for me, this pointing fingers and saying all of your fan base are racist. That's not the case.
Yeah, that isn't individuals. The case. So we know.
And when they equally, so Albion turn around and say, oh, they're not an Albion fan. They're not an Albion fan if they're doing that in our fan base. They are an Albion fan. The chances are they are an Albion fan. And
they're
they
just
are
a prick.
In your fan base. They're, yeah, every club will have them.
Every club's got them. We know that. What I would say is from a player's point of view and a club point of view is when do we start doing the same sort of stuff that happens in Italy where, you know, they just said the rest of when all the players walk off the pitch, they all get behind the player and say, right, we're going off the pitch. I know it was like the very last or whatever, but why, when do we start doing that over here as well to start actually, you know, trying to put our foot down a little bit in the game to make a stand? Because it's...
I don't know whether you can ever completely eradicate it, though, because...
You can't. Because
eradicating one person out of 30,000,
yeah,
if they hold that view, or if they feel those feelings, as long as people call them out for it, I mean, that should happen more often.
I think I'd just like to see the players walk off the pitch or something, even just for a few minutes, just to, like, and then, and let, try and let a few minutes to calm down, cool off, and, you know, and maybe like security or whatever can try and do something with the alleged, what's his name?
Racist.
Yes. So I had another word in my head, but it just completely fell out a minute ago. I would just like to see something else happen. Just walk off the just walk off the pitch. We'll see.
Imagine if they'd have walked off the Hawthorn pitch two games in a row.
Oh yeah, of course. I forgot
it
about
was the Wolves game before, wasn't it?
Mad. But yeah, I wanted to bring that up just as I think it would have been remiss of us just to leave it out. But
no, I agree.
Deadline day. Disappointment as opposed to drama. How are we feeling about the business or lack of, and what happened? And because I think a lot of people were very frustrated by
lack of movement. I think it was probably fair to be disappointed, and I know that there's a reason, and we'll come on to that. Or we believe there's a reason. I think it's fair to feel a little bit disappointed that we've got Etheridge for a couple of games in goal, having not played for a while.
This should just be his last game by the sound of it. Everybody should be available.
Close. Week. But then they released Gcock, so that we were under the impression, or I was under the impression, that it was because...
So they could get an emergency loan if they needed
it. And
but
that the EFL
there's
couldn't say.
Loopholes in that we've seen now as well. So
yeah.
On that note, they actually, and I think you were the one that first mentioned this in a group chat, is that we had a goalkeeper in and lined up, and my belief is that there was a goalkeeper in the building, and they were ready to press the button on it, but it was very much reliant on a senior player going out the other way, and that wasn't from a financial point of view. It's because we were maxed out at the 25 squad number, so there was opportunity for players to go. The one I think most people know about is Kesey Anderson, who had a move to Rotherham lined up, and also Sheffield Wednesday were sniffing around there, and I believe that the deal was in play for Rotherham, but Anderson just decided to stick around. That's up to him, you know. He wasn't forced out the door, and I'm glad we didn't try to push him out, because I actually think we'll probably need him later down the line anyway. But had he gone, that goalkeeper would have signed, whoever that goalkeeper is, because I still don't know.
let's just keep on that for a minute. You've just mentioned the 25-man squad. I think we probably mention to people what that actually is, because it hasn't really been mentioned anywhere that you start the season, you have your squad of players. People just think, oh, I can have as many players as we want.
But you have to register players, and you've got players under 21 that obviously don't. So we're obviously, the new signings basically took us over the limit, or took us to the limit, which meant there was actually no room there. And then if you can still sign another player, but it means you have to deregister one of those other players and you won't be able to use them for the rest of the season. And I just don't think Blues are willing to do that, paying someone to do nothing for the next 4 or 5 months. Which, you can understand the reasoning behind that.
Every player in there has a value of some sort.
Yeah. A shame and we can't sell to Turkey tonight or something, but half them to Turkey.
Do you want to touch on that now?
Apparently none of those teams want Gary Gardner, which is unfortunate. There was a rumour this morning, wasn't there, about Bakuna, that Fenerbahce you're offering 5 million euros, not pounds, for him. It obviously created a little bit of chatter on Twitter. To be honest, I was only briefly been on there once or twice today because I was doing a lot of driving and then quite a lot of meetings. So there was a lot of people that were quite willing just to throw him out and say, yeah, let's take the money, buy someone better. That's all well and good, but we wouldn't be buying anybody else till the summer. I'm firmly in the boat of, if you want to sell him in the summer, then I think that's probably okay because you can go out and replace him straight away. At the moment, for me, what have we scored in the league? 34, 35 goals? He has... That's off the top of my head, I think. It's something like that. We certainly haven't scored very many. He has 5 goals and 5 assists. So he's basically accounting for about 30% of goal contributions. He's played in pretty much every position bar goalkeeper and centre back. And he may have even played left back.
He may have even played a goal.
For me, selling him now, I don't think he's going to go anywhere based on the comments from Tony Mowbray today, but for me, selling him now is just a big risk in a team that struggles to score, is currently struggling to score goals.
What has Tony Mowbray said today? Because I haven't had a chance to hear it.
Just basically said, lovely footballer, still as mad as a hatter. So the question was actually around how is he after the incident Saturday. And apparently he's been fine around training. He's been in good spirits. He's still a bit mental. I think he referred to him as mad as a hatter again. And just said, like, he's very, very lovely footballer. Does a lot of things other people in the team can't do. We've spoken about this sort of stuff before ourselves. Mm-hmm. He says he wants to work with him to improve on the things he's good at and then add extra things to his games. Saw someone calling him lazy earlier on, which... I tend not to get into conversations on Twitter these days because I can lose my mind and just, if I get into it, I wouldn't stop and it'd probably just ruin my day. He's definitely not lazy.
No, there's not one thing that I would call him anyway.
He has a languid style. I get that. It's just maybe the way some players are like that. They move in a way that makes them look lazy, but he's not at all. We've seen him playing.
Ronaldinho, for example, back in the day.
Great example.
Wasn't lazy, just very laid back in the way that he played football.
Yeah. There
not comparing the two of them, by the way. No.
Well, I am, actually. So I'd be very surprised if we took any money from them. I think their window closes maybe tomorrow. It might even be tonight. I'm not sure. Possibly tomorrow, but I think it's too much of a risk. And you look at other people in the team that will maybe contribute that many goals and assists, and you've probably really only got, in theory, Dembele and Zansfield. And Dembele is more infuriating and inconsistent than Bakuna. You've got Jordan James, who obviously has been scoring a few goals now, but there's nobody else. And even the players have signed, historically don't add loads of assists and loads of goals.
But on that point, that is where we spoke about it briefly earlier on. I think if there's 5 million euros on the table, I reckon I'd probably take that. And I rate him. I think he's a good player. He's very talented. He can do stuff that no one else in the squad can.
Mm-hmm.
Not consistently, but then you don't get consistently from those players.
If he's consistent, and he's playing in the Premier League, top half of the Premier League, isn't he?
But I think, okay, he might have contributed a lot more. He might have contributed a lot to the goals and the goals that we've scored in terms of goals and assists. But then is that because the times that he plays a pass that doesn't reach someone, where he's trying to be creative with it, where he's doing certain things, or he's hitting the wall or like dragging shots wide, that someone else would have been able to do something with the ball? I don't like, that's not me slating.
Statistically,
him.
Apparently his... not. Even looking at everyone's stats, that's why.
Other times. But I like our goals scoring stats are quite low, very low for this season. And I just think for the way that it is, if there's a decent bid on the table, I'd maybe say, yeah, do you know what? Take it. We'll make do with what we've got. And I think we're perfectly sound to make do for this season without him. And then we can develop this project going forward. Whether it will happen or not, I don't know. I don't think that there's... and it's certainly not because, yeah, he's lazy, snap the money, take the money.
Yeah. For me, I think the focus needs to be... And this is me repeating what I said to you earlier, so... Forgive me if you've heard this before, but the focus needs to be on the here and now. And we're currently we're 4 points off the drop. Now, I don't actually think we're going down. So let me just add that in now. But for me, it's too much of a risk to take him. That's that amount of goals and assists is pretty significant to take out of the team at the end of the table that we're at the moment. And I know I saw a lot of people saying, oh, we need to move on from these players. And we do need to move on from some players, but we still need players. And he'll only be backup. And that's fine. Not every player can be a first choice player. You need a squad of players that, you know, that you're comfortable bringing in, that you know can change your game. And he's been in and out of the team a little bit, but he is the sort of person that can impact a game. And actually, on Friday, I think I'd rather start him ahead of Dembele on the left, because Dembele seems to be becoming more and more infuriating with his final ball. And I know he has a similar sort of problem. He can do some wonderful things with the ball, and he scares the life out of defenders. But when it comes to the crunch, sometimes that final ball isn't there. And I think he might need some time out of the first team pitch altogether, but just taken out the final line and given the opportunity to work his way back into the first team picture again. So I would start Bakuna on tomorrow. Keep sending anything. Saying Saturday, you've got Pritchard out as well, haven't you? So I mean, the chances are that Bakuna may feature anyway. Depends on what they want to do with Jordan James. Does he play further up, or are they going to replace Sunjic or whatever? But I think there's a good chance he'll probably play. But anyway, put mistake in the ground. Don't sell him. I'd actually keep him in the summer as well, unless someone offers daft money, and then just, you know, add to the talent, because the more players we have like that in the squad, the better. You know, and we might find a player that can do the same thing as he does, but more consistently. And that'll be great. But we sure as hell won't be holding on to him for very long. He'll be gone within a season, probably. So that's just me. I'm just back in Bakuna. Back in Bakuna. And I think he's staying anyway. I'm pretty confident that, based on Mowbray's comments today, that he's not going anywhere. And also, here's what, this will win you over. We're two injuries away from Ollie Burke. In fact, we might even be one injury away from Ollie Burke. So, no, just take that to bed with you and have a think and see how you feel in the morning.
Now, before we get into Sheffield Wednesday, I've got a Wagner of the Week.
Wagner of the Week.
Now, this guy has probably had a lot of chances to have been Wagner of the Week. And as far as I'm aware, we haven't selected him yet. He's massively part of the three-pronged fan engagement strategy. And it's Jeremy Dale. The stuff that he is finally coming to fruition now. The open house, which we obviously attended. The official supporters clubs, which are now starting to be formed and put in place. And Blues Matters as well, where he's created a team of people to connect the fans to the club. I just think that it's been a little while that Jeremy's been doing some great stuff, and of course the community stuff that he's organised, and I just think he's deserved Wagner of the Week for a little while, but it hasn't been sent his way. So Jeremy, this is for you.
Okay, on to Sheffield Wednesday tomorrow night, Friday. What do we think?
Chewy.
We are winning. They're off the back of two quite heavy defeats, aren't they, as well? They can see the 8 goals in 2 games or something like that, is it?
They lost. I don't know. Should I have a look at the stats? Should probably prepare more often, shouldn't we?
In fairness, we only decided to do this about 10 minutes before we came on. So
this is true. They lost 4-1 to Coventry and 4-0 to Huddersfield, but then drew with Watford and drew with Coventry before that in the FA Cup. They haven't won in a while.
No, I think their probably confidence is probably fairly low. I mean, they when they came to St Andrews at Knighthead Park, they were they were by far the better team. I know we came away
such
with
a cunt. With the when they came to St Andrews at Knighthead Park,
well, it actually wasn't that at the time, was it? But you know, in case they're listening, we might be able to get a little bit of money fed through to the podcast from them potentially. So yeah.
They might click our coffee link.
They might do, yeah. Please, Mr. Wagner, please. Kids need new shoes. They looked much better than us in the game earlier in the season.
We were very, very poor.
We're a much better team now. That goes without saying. Absolutely goes without saying. Anyway, I'm confident that we go there and win. And I could see us scoring 2 or 3 goals, to be honest. There's going to be a game at some point in this, before the end of the season. And I think it might happen in one of the next 3 games. Well, we're going to score 3 or 4. Well, we're going to score a few goals.
That could have been Leicester away in the FA Cup.
It could have been, yeah. But that's what I feel like it's going to happen at some point. And there's not really a better run of games. I think we've got Blackburn and then maybe Sunderland, who both struggling a little bit. I'm going to say 3-0. Bucket 3-0.
Shall I go back there? Shall I go back to the it's not going to be a continuing thing, but I'm going to one up here and I'm going to go 4-0.
I just think we're a better team. We're a much better team than we were last time we played them. Their confidence is low. can just see us like it clicking.
You know,
properly.
Is it going to be Barry Bannon being little?
I mean, that's inevitable.
Fuck.
That's going to happen. That's going to happen anyway. You just have to expect that.
I know, but again, he's another one of these players that like seems to save his best performances against us. No,
he's a very good player, isn't he? He's just one of those players that you'd like to have that sort of player in your team. He's a shit, but he's. It's like what I said about Alex Pritchard. I wasn't keen on Alex Pritchard as a player for the opposition, but a player for us, very, very, very different. He will be missing tomorrow, by the sound. Vegan, what are you saying?
2-0. I mean, they're not going to score, are they? We hope. I mean, worst.
We're winning, aren't we? Yeah. We're definitely winning.
I mean, they scored the fewest in the league. They're not.
You've cursed it now.
Cut it out.
You've jinxed it.
We're winning. I'm supremely confident. So confident that I'm not even going to play six aside tomorrow night. I'm staying at home to watch it. So
again, for everybody else who can't see, Chris has walked away from the mic with his head in his hands.
No, I'm back. I'm back. You jinxed it.
Sheffield Wednesday 2, Birmingham City now.
No, it's not that. It's not that. Right, 4-0. 2-3-4.
Any of them will do.
It'll be 1 now, won't it? We'll just nick it right at the end. It'll be a shit game and we'll nick it right at the end.
Which I'd still take.
Well, yeah.
Anything. Yeah. The next two games, I think, we need to really be getting 4 points minimum from just to. People are looking at the table, and rightly so. With just the way the results fell last weekend, it wasn't ideal. And 4 points off the drop is, you get a little bit nervous. I think we'll be absolutely fine, but I think the next two or three games are absolutely crucial to us just pulling ourselves away.
Okay, then. So you've just mentioned it there. The next two games, then the one after that is Blackburn.
Mm-hmm.
On the Tuesday.
Is that Tuesday next 13th. Week? Is it?
Yeah, the next Tuesday. Yeah.
Okay.
And then it's Sunderland, isn't it, on Saturday?
Mm.
So, I mean, a lot could happen before then. So, we just throw a quick prediction at that as well.
Yes, Blackburn just lost their manager. I'm sure they've just lost their manager.
Thomas.
Did I make that up? I thought I'd...
Huddersfield sacked Darren Moore.
Yeah, he's gone. So, what is he? Is he still manager?
No, he's still current head coach of...
Oh, there we go. John Dahl Thomason is expected to leave Blackburn as transfer chaos swirls.
Oh, okay.
Expected to part company with him before Saturday. So he's expected... I thought I'd seen something, but I wasn't sure. So, yeah, hopefully... I think they just like a club that's in a bit of a mess at the moment, which, you know, they've kind of sort of been half and half in that mess for a while under Venkies, hadn't they? So... I think we'll beat them as well. They've always got goals in them. I think I could see maybe 2-1 Blues, 3-2 Blues, maybe something along those lines. Win by the odd goal, but they always seem to score. Although it won't be that Duncan Maguire lad, will it? What did they do? They tried to process in the transfer.
Oh, and the American guy.
Rather than sending it through, they just press save and close the document rather than actually sending the document off.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, but that's the story. And he was sat there waiting for them. It's like, could the EFL ratify it? No, they can't. So now he's just like basically stuck in limbo.
In Sheffield, because he was sat in a hotel in Sheffield, wasn't he? So was he just...
I think they on about he was maybe going to Sheffield and whatever, Sheffield Wednesday, because the Blackburn deal had fallen through, and then it was back on again, and then Blackburn had thought they'd done it, and yeah, apparently pressed save instead of send. So That is very Blues, isn't it? That is very like previous era Blues. You just kind of you could expect that. You could imagine us doing something along those lines.
Tats, a few weeks ago when he was doing about the deadline day stuff, he mentioned about was it Pandiani's transfer when they'd faxed it because everything had to be faxed, but because the line was busy, they couldn't put the document through. So it faxed through and it went through late, but because that was the only way that they'd accept it at the time,
yeah,
it was accepted even though it was late. Whereas now I assume they've improved the way that you can send registrations and
whatever. I mean, anybody
else
that uses a fax these days needs to fucking shot in the head. what is the fucking point? Seriously.
Just jams a phone.
I feel fairly confident that we'll win both games. It's about time Tony Mowbray, we give him back-to-back wins. I think he deserves it, so...
And then after Sheffield Wednesday, it's back-to-back Mowbray against his former team.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, just came off the back of playing one former team as well. And now facing three former teams. Ipswich as well. Caretaker manager, was he there?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Count.
But former team that he played for. So... Few nostalgic games for him. Maybe not. I don't even know if that's a word, but...
Revenge games. Revenge Tour. And that's the name of this week's episode.
We'll have it. So, Vegan, go on. Prediction for Blackburn?
I think I'm just going to go for 1-0. Win, but barely.
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 Oh, I think I might go 100. No, do you know what? I might actually go on the back of I might go 2-0 Blues. 2-0 Blues. Right. Anyone that's travelling to Sheffield Wednesday or Blackburn, have a safe journey. Let's sell out Sunderland at home. Show Wagner what it's all about. And until next time. Keep right on.
Keep right on.
Keep right on.